All right, we're in Luke chapter 8, and in this chapter, Jesus takes a pivot in the way he's doing ministry. Up until this point, he spoke very plainly, and in that plain speaking, along with all the miracles he was doing, drew massive amounts of crowds who wanted what he had. And he was reaching the marginalized, the sin-filled, the fallen. He healed the blind, gave lepers a new life. Paralyzed people were able to walk, even rose people from the dead. He was doing crazy ministry, and he was attracting those that the religious elites would not even consider being around. Yet he claimed to be religious, and it just bugged those guys. In fact, their antagonism toward him had risen to the point that they wanted to kill him, and they were plotting to kill him. And so Jesus's strategy, as he's at the top of his popularity with people, he's at the bottom of hate, or probably at the top of hate, I guess would be a better way to put it, with the religious. And then you had in the mix a bunch of curious people that they didn't really care what he was saying. They were there for whatever they could get from him and to see the show. They were following because they heard things, seen things, and they wanted to experience it in whatever way they did. But they really weren't interested in Jesus and what he was saying about himself. So you had a mass of different people there. So Jesus changes his tactic. And he starts to speak in what is called a parable. A parable is a story that on the telling of the story, super simple. People could understand it. It was familiar to them. And so at the other end of that story was a part that you could not understand. There was a deeper meaning. And, you know, Jesus was doing this so that it would separate those who were just coming to hear something from those who wanted to know what he was talking about. And you know, yours and my trials oftentimes serve the same purpose. There's the outward thing that we see going on, and then there's the thing God is doing. There's the part, and that's what faith is. Faith is the tension between what I know, what I see, and what I don't understand. And we live in the and part. Oh, I trust Jesus and what I trust him with, and I don't understand why God would allow this. I don't know what God is doing here. How come God hasn't answered my prayers? I prayed them long and hard. How come God would allow this circumstance to come in my life? And I've been following you. I understand that there might be some bad consequences to behaviors that are negative and wrong. But what about when I'm doing right and it all goes to heck in a handbasket? What's up with that? What about my expectations of God? What do I do with that? So God allows things in our life to cause us to go beyond the obvious to what is up, Lord? And usually when that happens, we're going to go one of two ways. We'll go sideways if we think God is in the wrong and doing wrong. Or on the other hand, we'll go deeper and say, what are you trying to show me here? What is the deal? And even when I don't understand, I'm still going to trust you. And that's how faith develops. And so Jesus, now speaking in parables, did it for a couple reasons. One would be to keep the religious leaders off balance. They're hearing a plain story, and they don't know what he's really talking about. And so they can't really get him anymore right now. It kind of puts them at bay. Anybody ever, you know, you see that when two people can be talking in a crowd and they kind of wink at each other because they know they got a conversation going on in the conversation. Nobody else knows what's going on. They kind of know something's up. They're kind of sharing something that I don't know about, but I don't know what it is. And it kind of keeps us at bay. Well, Jesus was doing that with the antagonistic. And then with the curious, they were just there for something else. He wasn't going to waste time with them because why? It's an act of grace. It's an act of grace for them so they wouldn't be judged or judged as harshly. if you don't understand. How many were antagonistic to Jesus at times in your life? You had nothing to do with Jesus. It's a bunch of blah, 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 blah. I couldn't hear it, couldn't understand it, didn't even care. Didn't even care. Well, how many have opened the Word when you were, you know, when I used to get high, I used to open the Word. Well, what else are you going to do at 4 a.m. after, you know, you've been up for a while? And, you know, I used to get spiritual. And I did. Yeah. I remember Teresa telling me, you know, hey, Joe, quit talking about God. I didn't know Jesus, but I was curious about God. You're ruining everybody's high. I start going all deep into stuff and I'd be reading the Bible, but I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. I'm reading the Old Testament. First of all, I can't pronounce the names, and 30 years into Jesus, I still can't pronounce them. And everybody was killing everybody in the Old Testament. And, you know, what's that up with that? And it was all kind of blurry. It was plainly written, but I didn't understand the dynamics about it. I wasn't in the place. Well, that's what Jesus was doing. He was showing grace to those who weren't ready, who might be ready later on. And then the third reason would be he had to train his disciples. He still had another year, year and a half. They weren't going to kill him before that. He had a plan when he was going to go. And nobody would mess with that. And when God has a plan, nobody can mess with it. And in that, he had to train the apostles who were pretty newly picked. And he had to train the other disciples who would carry on the mission after him. So he wanted them to seek and come to him. So he starts by telling this new way of preaching, which those guys would look at and not understand. So this is what he said. It says, one day in Luke 8:4, one day when Jesus told a story in the form of a parable, a story with two meanings, to a large crowd who had gathered from many towns to hear him. He says, a farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks and it began to grow. But the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and this seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Everybody heard him. They had ears that heard what he was saying. But there was a large group of people. Tell them hi. There was a large group of people that didn't care. And then there were those that, what's he saying? Now you need to understand a little bit of the background. This wasn't any big farms where they would take the plow and the oxen and they would plow rows and they would walk in between the rows and throw seeds into, you know, it's kind of like what we see. These were rural farmers. Everybody understood that. And so they would be in their little plot of land and they would have footpaths that they would walk on with their seed, and they would take the seed out and spread it out. Seed would fall in different kinds of soil. And some of it would fall on the footpath. And the footpath was the hard soil. And that's what we'll be talking about today. So in order to understand this story, we need the following analogies. The farmer stands for Jesus. He says, there was this farmer that went into the field. The seed is the words of Jesus, what he was saying. The human heart is the field where the seed is planted. And there are four kinds of heart or fields he's talking about. One is footpath field. There's the rocky field with rocks all through it. There's the thorn field with other things growing in it, sucking up nutrients. And then there's the fertile field. And the thing we need to understand is anyone can be any soil at any time. Everyone in here has places in our hearts, footpath, It's the hard place in our heart. We can have it right next to fertile soil. We can have soil that soaks up the word. And yes, I want that. Oh, that ministers to me. Oh, that resonates with me. Then we can have that same seed, a little different word, hit the footpath, and we go, nah, I don't think so. Nah, not for me. You know, the other day I was praying and asking God, God, how come, man, I see so many people that love Jesus? They love him. He's touched their lives. He's transformed them. And then they get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Mr. Right, oftentimes Mr. Wrong, but he's a person, or Mrs., and they move in with them. They're not even married. I say, God, how come they're accepting this part of your word, but this other part of your word falls like on a footpath? And that's only one example. On the footpath, and the Lord showed me, he said, their experience tells them that's not good. What are you doing? Why would you marry this person? You grew up and you saw marriage. You know, when I was a kid, there was only one family in the two classes of 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that had the mom working. It was weird. I mean, it was weird she was working because that wasn't the way it was. And there was only one other family I knew in the whole school that were divorced. That didn't mean they didn't have all kinds of dysfunction going on, but there was this nucleus of things going on. And so I grew up in the 60s, and it was sex, drugs, rock and roll, and question authority. I grew up having to register twice for the draft for Vietnam. And I was debating going to Canada. And what am I going to do? And thankfully, the war ended when I was a junior, and so I didn't have to make any decisions. But those were turbulent times, and all the race stuff, and all the things, and you know, we had the Kennedys and Martin Luther King, and all this stuff going on. Those were gnarly times, and drug culture, and the hippies, and that group, my people, had kids. Yeah, scary. And then my kids had kids. And then in just those two generations, you've got 50% divorce rate. Kids are growing up with moms only or dads only and seeing boyfriends and girlfriends come in the picture and all this other stuff. And then now they're coming and it's like, why would I want to get married? I at least need to check it out. And Joe, by the way, it makes economic sense. Hello? Two incomes? You need it to live. God understands. And you know what? He does. He ain't approving of it. So what's that say? Some parts, some seed hit wonderful fertile soil. And other seed hits the footpath. And because of the things of life, kind of like what we're talking about in worship, the things of life, the pain, it's hard to the Word of God. It doesn't make sense. Forgive? Nah, you say forgive? Nah. Hey, okay, I will. Let's get justice first. Let them feel like I felt. Then we can talk about that. Okay, all right, no judge. Let's just get revenge. How many of us have rehearsed revenge in our head? Yeah, no. How many have I just triggered going, and it reminds you now, and I'm rehearsing it again. Now I got to try to get you back. We start rehearsing all the wrongs, some of it our own selves. And that's all caused the rejections, the loss, the disappointments, the what I expected to happen, and it didn't. The plans I had. The losses, the betrayals, the wounding. See, those are the birds. Those are the birds that come and pick it up. Why? Birds are opportunistic. Why dig for seed when it's right there? And so the word never seeps into the heart. And so it's taken right away. And so this is a message not only for the lost who don't have the word and reject it and are antagonistic or are curious but not really wanting to hear, just want the stuff. And then there's us who believe. But there are footpaths all through our hearts next to thorny dirt and rocky dirt and fertile dirt. And every place it's fertile grows. So Jesus goes on to tell us what happened after he told this story. In Luke 9, it says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. What are you trying to get at? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Oh, there's secrets in the kingdom of God. You know, when Scripture talks of secrets in the kingdom of God, it's not like he hides them and you find them. It's like he hides. Anybody ever play hide and go seek? And you can't find the person because their secret hiding place is so good. What do you yell out? Ollie, ollie, oxen free. And they reveal themselves and now you see them. That's what happens in the Word of God. He goes, the things that God has are for those who seek, and then he reveals it to them as he needs to. You can never search it out. We can never understand fully. That's a faith issue. You ever prayed for something a long time ago and then the answer comes somewhere in the future? Yeah. Okay. Where are we at here? He says, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scripture might be fulfilled. When they look, they don't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. Then he goes on to tell them, this is the meaning of the parable, and I already shared that with you. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts. Earlier he said the birds. And the devil is the same way. He's an opportunist. When he sees it fall on the footpath, when he sees you're debating with, do I obey God? Do I trust God in this? Or do I do my way? He's an opportunist. Swoop in and take it out. Same thing with the birds. The birds are the problems that cause the heart. The devil just looks for the opportunity to take it away so you stay that place. He says he takes it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. And that word saved means healed. When you and I fight God in a place in our heart with his word, we prevent the healing. And you know what sometimes prevents the healing of God in our lives? We don't want to be healed the way he wants to do it. We want to be healed, but we want it this way. Painless. And I don't want to ever have to reveal nothing. You just take it away, God. And I don't want to have to deal with shame so that I can be free of it. And I don't want to have to deal with grief. And I don't want to have to deal with stuff. So God, just take it away so I can be cool. And God says, no, I'm not taking it away, because see, as you deal with it and your path gets softened and it starts to become fertile soil, you'll be able to help someone else who has the same kind of footpath in their heart, who has the same areas of hardness. And so that's why we need to reveal to be healed. We need to let it out. We need to seek those who have had at one time footpaths in a place in their heart, but now it's become somewhat fertile soil. It's producing something. Paul in Ephesians says it's this way. He says, their minds are full of darkness in chapter 4, verse 18. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. He says, listen, God wants to get into the footpaths. And when you reject that and the seed gets blown away, you wander far from the life God wants for you. You wander as if you're in darkness. And your mind is telling you that's a way to find light. This time it'll work. This time it'll be okay. There's still value in it. How many know that was sin? How many have said, God, take this sin away. Help me with that sin. And we get away from it for a while. Then it's like, you know what? I should sin because I've been pretty good at not sinning. I should reward myself. I know. Isn't that weird? Because somehow in our head, we're darkened to that. It's like, this time it won't beat me up. How many of us have been rebels? After a while, I don't even know what I'm rebelling about. What am I so mad about? I talk to people that are 50 years old, and they're telling me stories about their parents, and I'm glad they're revealing it, and they need to, and they need to get it out. But it's as if they're still living at home. It's like, when did all this happen? When I was 14, 13, 11? That worldview you've accepted has informed you in the way you're going to do life for 30 years. And now for the first time you're revealing it. It's awesome. But here's how you have to deal with it. I don't want to do that. Listen, I'm telling you, if you do this, you'll get this. If you do this do, you'll get this get. And it's like, I don't know. And I get it. I don't agree with everything that God says. And the only sins we ever give up is when the pain outweighs the gain. How many know that it says, speak the truth in love? That's the hardest thing for Christians to do. I need to tell you what I'm really feeling. No, I won't. I'm going to leave. Why? Because it's vulnerable. I tell couples, when you give your heart to someone, you're giving them permission to squish it. That's it. And you get your heart squished enough, you ain't going to give it. You may give a piece of your body. If you ain't giving your heart, man, that's, you know, they're going to pay a price to get that. I am going to put them through the grinder. Right? How many do it to themselves? You know? Hebrews 3:13 tells us this, we get deceived by sin. It tricks us. Not only our sin that's been perpetrated against us. It tricks us into believing thoughts about ourselves. It tricks us into identities that are not true. It tricks us. And it says what? One of the tricks that it does is it hardens us against God. If God was a good God. Sometimes I'll get people that want to pray for their mom, their grandma that's, you know, 96 years old. And they, Joe, can you pray for healing? It's like, I get it. You don't want the loss. I get that. But they're 96. I ask them, what exactly do you want me to pray? You know, because really the prayer needs to be for you. You're hurting. You don't want the loss. She or he's grandpa, whatever, big part of your heart. And for some of us, they were the saving light in our families. And some of us, they were the nightmares. But there was, you know, there's that dynamic is what are we praying for and what are we praying about? And sometimes the prayer is for us to be able to deal with the situation. God, give them wisdom. Give them the ability to release this person. They're going to you, God. You know, and then help me with that separation and what all that means. You know, I tell people that are divorced, you need to get healed from the relationship or you'll be carrying it into the next one. And God help that poor person. You know, that's why I take the time to deal with it. You know, how many of us in our parenting, I go, what's your parenting idea? How are you going to parent? Opposite of my parents. Whatever they did, I'm doing the other. I go, well, what's that look like? What? No, you got to have some kind of plan. What's God's word say? Train them up in the way they should go. What does that look like? What does that mean? It means to know them enough how they're formed. Know them enough to how God made them. My six-year-old now, guy wants everything I do, he wants to be with me. He thinks I can fix anything. I got him so fooled. He thinks I'm a miracle worker. He pulled off the bathroom towel rack last night because he was pulling a towel. Apparently, he pulled it with both sides closed. But nonetheless, as soon as I got home, he told me. Comes walking in the bedroom. Papa, pull down the phone. You know how to fix it though, right? We good here? See, my dad was not like that. I'd tape it up there so he didn't see it. I try to fix it because, you know, there were going to be problems. And the other guy, there, you know, every kid's different. Every kid's different. One kid's super sporto and one kid plays the drums because he likes doing things on his own. He's not the big team guy. And it's knowing our kids. See, that's a plan. That's a plan. But to do that, I got to spend time with them. To do that, we've got to have a relationship where they feel safe. You know, but if my growing up was avoid the family at all costs because we all grazed ourselves. We raised ourselves. We're a family that's scattered. We go here to sleep and eat, and then we do our life because, man, our house isn't that safe. And then God says, pour into the family. That's footpath to me. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't resonate with me. And secondly, I have no idea how to do that. How do you have a healthy relationship? Well, you got to be honest with each other. You got to speak truth. You got to be willing to deal with things. You got to own something. But if you're so broken that any critique of you is put on your value as a person, I can never be critiqued. I can never be told I don't measure up because that means I'm a loser and I'm no good. And I've already heard that so much. I can't take it. Rather than I'm okay and we're in this together. And what is the problem? And let's look for a solution here. Let's look for something that works for us. And then let's implement it. Not sure that's in this passage. A footpath, heart, does not mean it doesn't have fertile places. So how many of you, as I was speaking, could identify a footpath place in your heart? Something came to you, I'm hard in this area. I'm hard in it to do it God's way. Yeah, me either. Woo! Don't raise your hands or nothing. Just let me talk to myself. Let's try it again. Raise your hand. Amen. If you couldn't identify anything, think a little harder. Do a little bit more walking the path of your heart, because it's in there. So here's what I want you to do. Let's stand, because I want to leave time for anybody that's got something, because here's the deal. If you're going to ask God, and that's what we're going to pray right now, if we're going to ask God to start the tilling of the hard footpaths in our heart, maybe it's one right now that God's revealing. I know that by tilling that dirt, things are going to come up. Things have to come out of the hard soil. The clay that's been compacted, the rocks underneath, the soil, the layers of soil that have been put on top of soil that have been walked on and trampled. There's things going to come up. So you're going to have to deal with those things. It's one of the reasons we have footpaths. We don't want to deal with them. Hopefully, if we just walk on them, it'll all be gone. It won't come up and bother me. And that just tends to make the footpath wider till it becomes the foot freeway. And the fertile parts in our heart are small. And we got a lot of callousness going on. Scar tissue. And when you start to go into the scar tissue, that's a painful thing. And we have to deal with things differently. That's the big challenge. So what got you to the footpath in any area of life, what got me there in any area of my life, is because I've walked on it and I don't want to deal with it the way God wants me to. I want to deal with it the way I want to, and I want God to deal with it the way I want God to. And so what we're doing by saying, God, do this, is I have to be willing to do it differently. James 5:16, one of my favorite verses when we're dealing with people, is confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's something in the confession. And a lot of times in the heart part, we don't confess. It's the stuff we keep inside. It's the stuff we push down thinking it's not being compacted when it's being compacted. And so we're going to do a prayer here. So that's why I wanted to leave you a few minutes. If something needs to be done, you got to be willing to do it God's way. You got to be willing, because there are other people who have traveled the path that is a footpath in your life that is fertile soil in theirs. So they can help us navigate. God's word helps, the Holy Spirit helps, and people help. It's one of the big values of community. Is that anything any one of you have ever dealt with, somebody in here has dealt with something similar. That is the great, seek the Lord and he will show you. The secrets of the kingdom have been revealed to you. This is how you win. So, who wants to not now. That would be awkward, eh? Who wants God to deal with the footpath, start to soften it in an area in your life? Go ahead and raise your hand. Keep it raised so God can see it. So he knows it's you. Amen. Okay, keep your hands raised. We need him to see the whole time. None of this. I got it. Good enough. Just scratching my head. I know. I say things like that. It's so hard being in here. So let me pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, pray with me. Lord Jesus, you know the footpath in my heart, the one you want me to deal with now, and I know it. And you know I've resisted because I want it to go away. I want it to be healed immediately. I want it to be done my way. So I step aside and I stand right now. Picture yourself standing in the fertile part of my life, in the fertile part of my heart. And I'm looking at the footpath in front of me. Holy Spirit, start to break up the footpath and give me the willingness to do it your way. And I will seek to find your way, for the secrets of the kingdom in this area you have, and I will seek it out because I want to do it your way. I want freedom. I want to be whole in this area, and not just for me, that I may be a blessing to others who have this footpath also. So bring into my life those who have traveled it, and now it's fertile soil, so that I may learn. And I thank you for that. And then bring others behind me who still have the footpath going and are believing their own lies and believing other lies that have been told them, that they hold on to his truth, but it's gained them nothing. stop that. And let me be a vessel used to help them. So I thank you for that. And I raise my other hand. And I say, help me now, God. I'm not hiding nothing. My hands are up in the air. Do your thing, God. And all God's kids said, amen. God bless you guys. If you would like some prayer, we got it right there over there in the prayer garden. Go over there, and we'll be happy to minister to you and with you. God bless.